Good morning, everyone. Most all of us who have been keeping attention with the news over the course of the past several weeks are very aware of the horrible savagery that is occurring in Iraq. And what I would like you to do is sort of imagine yourself situated there amidst this turmoil. And maybe you are a U.S. soldier. You might be a peacekeeper or a passerby. And you encounter a mother there who approaches you screaming and yelling, crying out passionately for you to do something, because you have the power to do something, to save her child from the barbarians who are entering the village. She's aware that you have the ability to save her child from these savages, yet you hear her screaming, you hear her yelling, you hear her impassioned, almost hysterical pleas, and you do nothing. You're silent. You even ignore her and walk right past as she screams and yells. Something that makes us stand up and realize, I think, what's really happening in today's gospel, even though this is somewhat of an extreme comparison. The gospel passage, and we're going to focus on one very specific part. Jesus encounters this Canaanite woman, a woman who is not a Jew, a woman who is not a believer in the teachings of the Jewish people. And it says in the gospel today, Matthew says, the woman came and called out. I'm not a Greek scholar. I don't know a lot of Greek. But in the commentaries I read, it says that this is technically not a proper translation. But really, it should be that she kept screaming. It's a repeated action that endures in the present woman, the present moment. The woman kept screaming. You get a hint of that when you see a little bit later. The disciples said, send her away, for she keeps calling out to us. She wouldn't stop. Not just calling out, but screaming and yelling. You could almost imagine maybe this frantic hysteria. And the apostles are aggravated, this noise. The woman won't let up. But even more, you understand, what is she screaming about? She has a daughter who's suffering. These are the cries of a mother, not for herself, but for her very child, who's not just suffering, but is tormented by a demon. In our culture, we are aware of the brutality and the savagery of demonic possession. There's a certain reality to that. But we're not just talking about a demon possessing an adult, but a child. Why would any mother not be caring about, wanting a resolution to her child, her daughter, who's possessed and tormented by a demon? So she's crying out for her child who is in very serious danger, knowing that Jesus is Lord, knowing that Jesus could say the word and the daughter could be released from this torment, that her heart could go back to being at peace. So Jesus obviously hears the screams and the pleas of this woman. But what is Jesus' response? Silence. He doesn't do a thing. In fact, the scripture says that he did not say a word in answer to her. He kept walking by. It would appear that he ignored her. How is this possible? That Jesus is the Messiah. He is the heart of mercy who comes to redeem suffering mankind. How could he be so apparently heartless? Imagine the crowd who knows that Jesus can heal, who's seen Jesus cast out demons. Why is the Lord ignoring this woman? Why doesn't he do something to help her in her pain? Just like it would seem the comparison I made to Iraq. To see a woman screaming, my child is in danger. But yet the person who has the power to do something walks by apparently heartless. So taking both of these things now, I want you to use them to help us understand a little bit better the potential argument that many atheists in our world make today. The argument against the existence of God, or more specifically, the argument against the existence of a just and loving God. And that's the problem of evil. We believe that God exists and that God is just and He is loving. How could He allow the innocent to suffer? He who is God, who is almighty, all-powerful, could snap His finger, of course, if God had fingers, and make it stop. Who could do something to stop it? Even more so, when we as humanity, witnessing the suffering, our brothers and sisters cry out day and night, God, why don't you do something? Why is my child suffering? Why are the innocent in pain? But yet, we notice, or so many notice, that our cries end up, well, it seems to be deaf ears. God doesn't stop the innocent from suffering. He doesn't stop the pain. It seems to be that He's silent, that He doesn't care. So it leads many to say either God doesn't exist or at least no just God exists. And so our natural response as believers, as people who are cradled Catholics, many of us, is to jump up and to respond, to defend the Lord, to be able to explain that even amidst this terrible suffering and it seems that God is silent, that somehow there's an answer. That's a good and natural, normal response. We could say, well, actually, if you look at the passage, He eventually does respond. He does heal the girl and cast the demon away from her. He listens to the woman. Or we can give the natural response most people hear is that the Lord is permitting this to help the woman's faith increase. And just like He allows suffering in our lives to allow our own faith to increase. And these are good answers. They're good answers. And in fact, we can think of the possible rebuttals and how we would respond to that. But I don't want to go down that road. You see, that road, along with the road of atheism, in a certain sense, are easy. It's easy to throw up our hands and say, oh, the problem of evil is here. I'm not going to bother in believing in God. Or to be able to give that rote response that this is how God helps us to grow in faith. Instead, I want us to do something different. To notice something that maybe we haven't noticed before in looking at this passage. And this reality that we face from our experience, that sometimes God is silent. That He does not respond to our pleas when we would want, and that suffering is allowed to take place. The fact that is, the gospel does not try to hide this fact. In fact, if you look at scriptures, Old Testament and New Testament, it is unapologetic. The God that we believe in allows suffering to take place for whatever reason. That sometimes He indeed is silent and doesn't respond. In the Old Testament, the Jews constantly crying out, Lord, why are you allowing these atrocities to happen to us? Where are you? In this passage of the New Testament, or we could think of Lazarus. They come and bring news. Jesus, the man you love, your friend, is about to die. What is the next response? Jesus waits 3 days to even go there. He lets him die. How could a good God allow that to happen? But Scripture is not trying to hide the fact. This is how Jesus operates. This is how God operates. The greatest example of this is His very Son, who cries out in darkness on the cross, my God, why have you abandoned me? Regardless of the higher purpose that we know that God has through faith, the fact of the matter is, this is revelation. This is how God chooses to act with His creatures. We can complain that it's not fair, throw up our hands and say, I'm an atheist. Or we could go to the very, very simple answer, there must be a reason God is trying to help us grow with our faith. Or the third way. And that's what I'm proposing today. Is that we can go to Jesus with this issue. We can go to God with this issue and say, Lord, I don't understand. And not even try to understand. But to take some time to sit with the mystery. To sit and say, yes, this is what it is, Christianity is not trying to hide this from us. A mystery that's very difficult, even for the believer, to truly accept in their own life. And we can scream out, just as the Canaanite woman, "Lord, I don't understand. Please explain this to me. Give me some wisdom. Why are you like this? Why does it have to be this way? Why can't it be another way?" And this is sitting with the mystery, even more than sitting with the mystery, bringing it to Jesus and saying, "Lord, I believe you, but this doesn't make any sense. Please give me understanding." It's a great suffering and a great trial, but I think this is the path to resolution. Look, a couple of days ago, we celebrated the solemnity of the Assumption of Our Lady. And so Our Lady is fresh in my mind as I was preparing this homily. And I begin to imagine, and I encourage you to imagine as we sort of wrap this meditation up, to imagine Our Lady watching the scene. Mary, who is a mother, who would one day see her son suffering in such a terrible way. She has the heart of a mother that goes out to this woman, this mother, who's crying out to her son, "Help my daughter." And she witnesses Jesus. Mary does. Jesus not responding, not saying anything. And begin imagining what goes through Our Lady's heart. What is she thinking? In her great faith, she knows ultimately that Jesus has a reason for this. But maybe she thought, why isn't Jesus responding? And her heart would really, really go out to this woman. Maybe she even wanted to go and console her. But what is Mary's response to this mystery or any other mysteries that she was faced? Scripture says she didn't necessarily try to figure it out. She didn't demand a response. She didn't give up. But she kept all of these things in her heart, contemplating them, meditating them, giving them to the Lord in silence. So she gives us that concrete realization of the path that we should take. A path that we should take that guides somewhere in the middle between, oh, there's got to be an answer, and us just saying there can't be a God. To be able to wrestle with this, sit with it, and contemplate it and say, "Lord, I don't understand. Please give me your understanding." Even more so, asking Mary, and from her memory, to share her own insights with us. To say, "Mary, please help me understand this, to be able to accept this for my own sake, but to be able to give it to others." It's the contemplative approach and the approach that brings the problems to Jesus directly. So that if we can understand it, and we can even more than understand it, accept it, that this is how God has chosen to act, and there's some wisdom beyond anything that we may be able to fully understand in our life, that if we can be open to the Lord's will, even in his silence, even in the darkness, even facing tremendous injustice and suffering, to know that the Lord is guiding a path through this, and to ultimately learn to accept his will, rejoice in it, and to be able to share that wisdom and insight and understanding with others. Amen.